And I'll be back with you again. Back with you again next Sunday, I think it is. Oh, they ain't tired of us. But we want to help out a church any way we can. And so, please invite folks to come to be here also. That's your duty. Tell them about the church, your pastor, about just being here, okay? Take your Bibles and we'll go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 24. Matthew 24. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, before the thing you've got in this place, this time, the people that are here, the pastor, I pray you help the pastor today recover from the surgery he's had. Bring him back safely and sound pretty soon, I pray. So I pray, Father, that you help us today in the Word of God. And pray, Holy Spirit, that you speak to my heart, speak to their hearts out there. Speak through me, I pray, Holy Spirit. And there may be some here not sure about salvation. I pray, Father, whether a church member, whoever they are, Holy Spirit, please deal with them like you need to do. Father, I love you. You're going to do it. Just name and pray. Amen. Matthew 24. The Bible says in verse number 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth shall mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Are you ready for that day? Hello? You ready for that day? I want to preach a little bit about this. When Jesus comes, he is coming back. Okay, who tells you what? They are coming. I don't care what the news tells you. He is coming back, folks. He's coming back. There's no getting around that at all. Matthew 24. And verse number 44 says this. Therefore, be also ready in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. He's coming back. Can you believe it or not? He is coming back, folks. You cannot stop him. He is coming back. 1 Thessalonians, if you will, chapter number 4. First Thessalonians 4. Bible says in verse number 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead shall be raised in Christ first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together, them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall ever be with the Lord. Paul says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. It's a comforting thought, knowing that one day, it could be soon, he is coming back. But when he find us prepared. You know? When he find us prepared. When he comes back, if he's coming back right now, when he find us all thinking about him coming back today. He can come anytime. When he find us prepared. When he find us with sins confessed. When he find us getting everything taken care of before him. All the sins are every day I start today, dear God, if I sin during the night, please forgive, take the blood of Christ, wash me throughly, cleanse me, make me white on the snow. That's what the Bible talks about. When you find sins confessed, we'll have to break up a fight with your wife, your husband. Hello? When you find us prepared for his coming back. Are you ready for that instant, that very moment? Hello, when that trumpet sounds? People want to know when I'm going to retire. I'll retire when that trumpet blows, folks. I could be 90 years old. If I got breath in my lungs, I'm still going to be out here telling God, to people about God coming back, amen, one day soon. He's coming back. Will he find us prepared? Prepared. Will he find us prepared like we're supposed to be prepared, amen? Prepared. I'll tell you what, folks, we need to get ready. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, look at verse number 20. It says, verse number 19, we are therefore teaching all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. For I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We find us, you know, telling people about God. Amen. We find us being a witness. The Bible says we're supposed to be. We find us talking to somebody about Jesus Christ. We find us prepared. Hello? We find us prepared. Listen to me, folks. He is coming back. He's coming back. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Look, if you will, at verse number 31. The Bible says there, I protest unto your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, I die daily. Paul says, I die every day. He said, I want to meet God in the right way. Every day, he said, I get up, I make sure sins are confessed before him. I'm dying daily. Folks, we need to be prepared to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back. He's coming back. Matthew, if you would, chapter 24, verse number 42 says this. Watch, therefore, you know not the hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if a good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, I be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. You know what? We need to be prepared, just like that rich man is prepared, watching over his house, amen? We need to be prepared, watching over our families, amen?
Yes, sir.
Are we prepared for Christ to come back today? Hello? A lot of churches today, they're not preaching that kind of stuff today. But are they prepared? I am prepared. Will he find us prepared? Folks, we find us with the blood being applied. Amen. Hello. We find us like the 10 virgins. Hello. Bible talks about 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. They were getting ready for the bridegroom to come. And there were 5 were ready. They had oil for the lamps. When that bridegroom cometh, they were ready, but 5 were foolish, going about their business every day, not really caring when he comes back, but you know, but when they said, hey, here comes the bridegroom. The wise were prepared. Their lamps were filled with oil, amen. But the foolish says, give us your oil so we can go with you. And he said, not enough to go. Can't do it. We'll find us prepared like those 5 wise virgins, or we'll find us foolish folks.
Yeah.
Foolish. Going about everyday life, not really caring about anything. Listen to me, folks. We'll find us prepared. Prepared. That trumpet blows. We are out of here. Out of here. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. Romans 13. Romans 13, verse number 11. Verse number 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing necessity to the saints of the and giving to hospitality. Will he find us prepared? Hello? Will he find us prepared? I read this verse this morning. I'll read it again. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2. Paul's writing here, he says this. He says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life by which I live in the flesh. I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Will he find us prepared like Paul was prepared? He gave himself for us.
That's right.
Are we living like that today? Hello? Are we living like that today? Hello? Will he find us prepared? If we're prepared, we won't have no problem. Talking right, looking right, you know, walking right, amen. We're supposed to walk worthy of the Lord, amen, and all pleasing, the Bible says. You know, we're supposed to walk worthy of Him. We find us prepared or not. We find us praying. When Jesus comes back, we find us praying. You know, and how much you pray? I pray every day. I pray all day, all during the day. I pray. I have a prayer closet that I use in the morning. I get up, I use a prayer closet all the time. That prayer closet is my little home to talk with God. Amen. We find us praying. You don't have to wake us up. You know? Praying. There's like your pastor. He needs your prayers every day, all day long. He needs to be praying for your pastor to regain the strength, to get rid of the pain, and get back in the pulpit where he's supposed to be at. Are you praying for him like that? Have you called him? Have you talked with him? God wants me to talk to him, amen.
Yes, he does.
We find us praying, folks. Praying. We have a church in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. One is coming to help start Westside Baptist Church. And so I said, yeah, we'll come. I had a promise of carpet work in that town. We were in a nice house in town, the five of us. There we were. I went to work. This guy had a funny way of stretching. He went corner to corner. I didn't say nothing to him. He fired me after the first day. Went back home. I said, job's gone. I went to my prayer closet. Dear God, we're here because you told me to come. We're following you, Lord. I need some help. Knocked on my front door the same morning. Went to the door. Yes, sir. You lay carpet? I do. He said, we'll go to a house, a few houses down from you, same side of the road, been by it. Come down and give us an estimate. I can do that, no problem. I grabbed my tape measure, and off I went. That day, folks, I sent the kids to Christian school with all we had left in the house. Homemade biscuits, water. No jelly. Our kids like to eat, amen. No, nothing like that. Just homemade biscuits and water. Under my prayer closet, I said, dear God, what a testimony that is for this evangelist. I said, kids, what are kids going to say to them? Our kids, you only got biscuits and water to eat for lunch? What's the matter with you? But while I was getting in my prayer closet, knocking on my front door, I went to my front door and said, asked me about that carpet. Give me an estimate on the carpet. I said, well, you know, I'll get my tool. Oh, wait a minute. Did I forget a room? Well, I'll pay you first. I asked God for help.
Yeah.
I walked out of the house. I mean, I could have just floated home. God had just come through again. I had a fistful of money.
Amen.
I got home. I said, babe, they paid me. They don't do that in the business. They just said, go get some goodies for the kids here. They did it this time. God's done it so many times. We find us praying, folks. My wife developed a lump. Told her family, I was still in a wheelchair back then. Told her family doctor, he said, we've got to get to the specialist right away. To the specialist. Just laid her down on a table. He took a specimen, he looked at me and said, this doesn't look good. All right. Went home, waited for a phone call. Got a phone from that doctor. Mr. Quick, found the matter with your wife. What? She had two kinds of killer cancers in her. She had 4-hour surgery right away. I said, dear God, don't take my wife. I got to have I'm in a wheelchair. Dear God, don't. I've got to have her. And God interrupted me and says, what are you doing? You're not praying. You're complaining. We find us praying, folks. I needed my wife. So we begin to pray. Called church, we had meetings at. They begin to pray. Took her to the hospital. Oh, she goes to surgery. I watched my watch, folks. Doctor said 4 hours. 4 hours went by. No doctor, no nurse. Now, you know, wheelchair, you don't just, you can't pace. You got to roll around a little bit. What's going on? 4.5 hours. Lord, we prayed. What's going on here? Come on, what's going on? 5 hours later, here comes the doctor. Doctor, my wife, what about the cancer? Just a minute, Mr. Quick. What? He's going to spend an extra hour on your wife. looking for the cancers. I found they were there point blank. They were there. I couldn't find them.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
I explained that. I said, you are a good doctor. I appreciate you very much, but I know something a little bit better than you.
Yeah.
What we find is praying.
Yeah.
Earnestly praying. For our family members.
Right.
For lost people in our neighborhood.
Right.
What we find is praying.
Yeah.
Come on. I don't have much to pray about, Brother Quick. Look at the news, folks. You better be praying a lot, folks. We got a president in the office right now. He's there for a few more years. After that, we don't know what's going to happen. Amen.
Right.
They put a Democrat in it. He's going to open that border up and throw away everything Trump's done.
Right.
We're right back in the same shape we were in before.
Yep.
Listen to me, folks. We need to pray.
Yeah.
Pray. Pray. We find us praying. 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 Luke, if you will, chapter number 18. Luke 18. The Bible says there in verse number 1. He spake a parable at this end. The men ought to pray and not to faint. That word faint means to become weak. Or not at all. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither guarded man. The widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. We don't know what happened to this widow woman. All I know is this widow woman took her life in her own hands, came before the judge, and said, Judge, I need your help. Please, Judge, help us. Bible says he would not for a while. But after he said, though I fear not God nor man. Yet because this widow woman cometh to me. The next verse, folks. This woman cometh to me and troubles me. I will avenge her. You understand, we bother God about some things.
Yeah.
That same church I was just talking about, we're out of food again. Met in my prayer closet, and dear God, we're out of food again. Our kids like to eat, and we like to eat. We need some food, Father. Please, need some food. Same morning, knock on my door. And my door, I said, yes, sir. And I'm like, you know who I am? I said, yes, sir. Been in your store many times. Ollie, from Ollie's been on a grocery store. I got a few things for you. Just a minute. Ollie was a deacon at the other Baptist church that was against our church. He brought in for us the biggest box, jam-packed full of food. I mean, we had soaps. I mean, everything was there. Everything was there, folks. We were stocked again, except for one thing. We had meat. Had venison meat. He had some bear meat. I mean, they brought it through, folks. Except for one thing. I went back to my closet and said, dear God, I was in tears. I said, you are so wonderful. I love you. We got food now. But God, you know, I'm a meat and taters man. No taters. I got to have taters, Lord. Please send us some potatoes. Next morning, knock on my door. Yes, sir. You know who I am? I said, yes, sir. Got something for you. And the little Volkswagen rabbit. 50 pounds of potatoes, put them down in my kitchen. He says, I had a guy here yesterday, but I got tied up. He says, Brother Quick, don't ever go without potatoes. I'm a potato farmer. They're yours in bulk storage. Anytime you want them, they're yours.
Amen.
Why? Because I bothered God.
Amen.
About food.
Yeah.
About potatoes. What can this church, Walker, Bible Baptist, what can God do to this church if you start bothering him? About some things.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to bother God. Why? He's waiting to be bothered.
Exactly.
He's waiting to hear.
Yep.
From Walker Bible Baptist. Are they praying to me or not? Are they complaining? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
We find us praying. 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 You know, I couldn't have hardly wait to have surgery done to me because when they put me out, I was pain-free. Listen to me, folks. Praying. We find us praying. Matthew 21. Matthew 21. The Bible says in verse number 20, just speaking here, it says this, Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you do it unto the fig tree. He also said, the mountain be thou removed, cast in the sea, and what? It shall be done. And whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believing, ye what? Might get? You hope to get? My Bible says, ye shall receive if you doubt not. Hello? Doubt not. Doubt not. Doubt not. It's so easy to doubt. God has given us everything. Give me a wonderful church to go to. A wonderful church that you help build up. Doubt not. He should say this fig tree, but that mountain. You cast in the sea if you doubt not. Mountain, really quick. That problem that comes your way might be a mountain to you. We owe some payments left on a truck yet. Pastor came to me and said, Brother Quick, how many payments you got left in your account? I said, talk to my accountant, my wife. So she told him, guess what happened? That church paid her truck off. If you pray and doubt not, we go on the road every time the garage door's coming down, we join hands and say, Dear God, we got this meeting. Please let us be a help to church. Let's see somebody get saved. Please protect us on the road. Please keep the truck running good for us, Lord. Just please, we're in your hands. Use us today. Yeah. One time I had a meeting in Moline, Illinois. At UConn, we got out there. We liked that UConn. But we got to get a different one. It's wearing it out. Just got out of the repair shop a day or so ago. Hard to find parts for 98 Yukon, amen? But anyways, we're praying about another vehicle about the same size. It was about 2 hours south of our house. On the freeway, my tech, I went to 5,000 RPM and went back. Dead twice, I posted that freeway. Running fine. Walked around. The whole back of that thing was covered with transmission fluid. What did you break? We prayed. God, we need a wrecker. Please. My wife called a wrecker. The young man came. I didn't tell him I was a preacher on my way to a meeting. I didn't say anything about anything like that. I said, we need some help, sir. He hooked us up, dropped us off in a Christian mechanic's backyard. Yeah. Now, folks, I didn't ask him to do that. But God knew. Why? We prayed. We prayed. Told God. Well, we took off on a highway we don't like, south of Chicago. We don't like that road at all, but we breezed in the hotel at 10 o'clock at night, went to bed, got up next morning, headed for Grace Baptist Church the next morning, got a half block from that church and blew the transmission out. We're coasting in the driveway, parked. Pastor, you got a mechanic? Yeah. Have him look at it. You wouldn't even drop in a gear, folks. Well, Grace Baptist Church, their evening service started about 2 o'clock. I was scheduled for Central Baptist that night with no truck. They gave us a pickup truck at Grace Baptist to get around with. Yeah. I said, what are we going to do, brother? Guys, they said, call this Transmission Plus that used to be owned by Chris. Call them. So I called them. Told them my problem. I said, total rebuild, $2,800. Come and get it. Now, folks, my bank account says zero. You know, my checking book says, don't write anything right now. They came and got it. They're going to be tied up until Friday. There we are. Went to Central Baptist Church that night in that pickup truck. Guy loaned it to me, can you shift? I said, I was born shifting, don't worry about it. Central Baptist Church. I've been there before. You got a problem, brother. What's it going to cost? I told him, he said, you got $500, brother? I said, well, we can scrape that much together. He said, we'll match it. That's $1,000 right there, folks. $1,800 left to go. Got a call from one of our supporting churches. Look, what's going on? Transmission. 2 hours later, same call. Somebody, brother, $1,000 to go in your home and rest right now. That's $2,000, folks. Before we left Moline, Illinois, it was paid for. Why? We prayed. We pray a lot about repairs, amen? You have to on the road. You have to. You don't just go and say, well, my luck will hold me. No, your luck has nothing. God is in control of everything, folks. And sometimes God wants to see just how much faith you got.
Exactly.
How strong is your faith today?
Trust in Him.
Are you trusting me or something else?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. We find us praying. When Jesus Christ comes back, we find us praying, folks. Bothering God about some things. Come on. We find us praying. Lastly, we find us prepared. We find us praying. We find us performing. We find us being a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. A lot of people hear the word of God. They go to church, they hear a good message, they walk out unchanged.
Exactly.
Meet tomorrow morning, Monday morning, a bad day to meet, unchanged. No victory. We find us performing. God paid off a price for us. Highest price you could ever imagine being for your soul was the blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary. Can't match anything to that in value. The Son of God gave His blood, all of it that day, on the cross for you and for me. Why is it when something needs to be done at the church house, we find an excuse not to do it? Well, I'm too old, Brother Quick. Bible talks about fruit in old age, folks. It's just one time. So the lady came to me and said, Brother Quick, said, I got a problem. She said, I can't go out knocking doors no more. So when my pastor asked me, what should I do? And he said, I'll pray about that. And she says, I got home. And she says, I just said, dear God, I've got to serve you. So she found an old antique book on a cupboard called a phone book. Before we got smartphones, I was on our way to a meeting. Out of state. Step to the gas station. Yes, sir, can I help you? Yeah, you got a phone book? I got a what? You have a phone book? What is a phone book? A phone book is a book that's got phone numbers. What is that? So anyways, this old lady started looking at her phone book. I've got to serve you, God. I got to serve you. I know I'm in old age, but how can I serve you, God? How can I... There it is. And she started in A's, sending gospel tracts at her expense to everybody. You see, that old woman was concerned about serving God.
True.
The more old people need to get some concerned about God, about serving Him, because there's this old age business, there's a lot of wisdom in that old age, folks. Wisdom there. Can be used out there to young people.
Yeah.
A troubling couple, used out there to help somebody in their marriage. Used out there to do something.
Yeah.
In that same church one time, pastor knocked on doors, went to his house, the back there, hey, can I talk to you? Yeah, yeah. The guy at the fence says, God sent me. I got one in the mail. Don't need that. Thank you very much. Don't need it. You're still at work.
Yeah.
God wants us to serve him. Why? The blood's been applied. Yeah. That ought to give us a love deep inside of our heart for him. He did that much for me. The least I can do is use this for him.
That's right.
Now, Professor Michigan, lived out there for a while. Ellie Carpet, Izzo family, Izzo Carpet and Furniture. And I worked with Mike Izzo, one of the sons. Now, folks, don't preach at people. Bible says we're the salt of the earth, okay? We are. Use a little salt. My wife says the meat needs a little salt, just a sprinkle of salt, just a little sprinkle of salt, make it taste better. Okay? So we, as the salt of the earth, ought to use that. So me and Mike Izzo, we worked a lot together. I didn't preach to him that one time. I just give him a Bible verse over here at this place. Bible verse at this job over here and talk a little bit. Another job, Bible verse over here. I didn't preach to him not one time. We did a carpet job for a Baptist church and knew my salt was working. I said, Mike, what do you think about this Baptist church? He said, not a bad building. Not bad, not bad. I thought, my salt's working. We had to move away. But guess what happened to Mike Izzo, the Catholic man? He got born again. Guess where he goes to church? Baptist church. Our 50th anniversary, went up to the Upper Peninsula. Figured temperature's going to be down, bugs going to be gone. No, he was wrong. 86 degrees, bugs are terrible. But I preached at First Baptist Church, Iron Mountain, Michigan, where Mike Izzo lived. We looked up his address, knocked on his door. His wife came to the door on the phone. Can I help you? I said, is Mike here? I'm on the phone with him right now. It'll be a while before he gets here. Who are you? I'm Tim Quick. Mike! Tim's here! Mike! Tim's here! Tim's here! Tim's here! Never met her before in my life. But Mike did. Me and Mike Izzo met in his city street after dark, hugging each other. The Catholic man. Baptist now. He came and heard me preach Sunday morning. Walking out, shaking hands with people. Mike grabbed my hand and said, you still got it, Tim. You still got it. I never want to lose that. Use a little salt, folks.
Right.
Don't preach to them, people. You start preaching to them, people, you're going to turn them away from you. A little salt. A little salt makes your testimony taste a little bit better in their eyes. I've been with guys who like to preach at them at the doorstep, telling them they're on their way to hell. That's the wrong way of doing it, folks. They may say a prayer just to get rid of you, but never darken the door of the church house, ever.
Yeah.
Salt is good. We find us performing. Come on. Doing. What that King James Bible said. Do we believe that King James Bible up there? Are we doing what that Bible tells us to do? I'm not a preacher, really quick. That's not a King James Bible preacher book up there, man. That's for everybody to understand.
Right.
Even young people. Mm-hmm. Even young people. We find us performing, doing what God wants us to do. Hello? Doing. What God wants us to do. How about that, huh? How about that? I'll give you a couple of verses, I'll be done. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians 8. Look at verse number 11. Verse 7 says this. Now there perform the doing of it. There is a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also of that which you have. For if you be willing, You have a willing mind. It's acceptable what a man hath, not what he hath not. Do we have a willing mind to serve God? Hello? 2 Corinthians chapter number 8.
What?
Chapter 8, 2 Corinthians, verse number 1 says this, moreover, brethren, we knew with the grace of God bestowed on the church of Macedonia, a great trial of affliction, abundance of their joy, and deep poverty, abundant on the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, and beyond their power, they're what? Willing of themselves. Prayer is much entreaty that they would receive the gift, take upon the fellowship ministry of the saints. And this they did not as we had hoped, Paul says, but first gave their own selves to the Lord unto us by the will of God. See, when you get born again, there's a little bit of giving takes place, folks. We need to give him after what he's gave to us.
Right.
He gave us that precious blood of Christ. We come to him and ask him to save our soul, no matter who you are. Church member, I've seen church members get saved, folks. The first thing they want to do if they get saved is serve God. Serve God. Multitudes of Christians go through life not serving God at all. My dad took Faith Baptist Church, Dalton, Michigan. The parsonage. Downstairs, we had a little corner basement. It was our workshop. One day I was down there, I was about 8 years old, 10 years old, something like that. Big old fly got himself caught in a fly and a spider's web. Said, Daddy, come on down here, Daddy, come on, I have something to show you. He said, what, son? That fly. Let me set him free. No, just leave him alone. I can set him free. Leave him alone. All right? A couple days later, I was back in the basement again. The fly was still there. Daddy, come on down here again. What, son? The fly. What about him, son? He's still there. Son, you never set him free. That fly got too close. That spider's web. That spider kept coming down there and putting more web on. You never set him free the other day. I said, but why is he not moving, Daddy? My daddy told me this. Son, that fly is dead. Dead. The spider ate that fly from inside out. I see a lot of flies in Baptist churches today. People that look like they're Christian, look like a church member, they look like it, but they're just sitting there doing nothing. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with us today? What's wrong with us today? Why can't we serve the one that's bought us? Why can't we serve him? Hello? Why can't we serve him like we're supposed to? Stand and place head bowed, eyes closed. Stand with me, head bowed, eyes closed. I wonder tonight, is there someone here? Say, pray to me, pray for me. God has spoke to my heart about something today. I'm not quite sure if I'm saved, but please pray for me. Here is my hand. Please pray. I see the hand. Anybody else? Please pray for me. God spoke to my heart about something. Salvation or whatever. Please pray. Here's my hand. I see the hand. Somebody else, just be honest with God now. Be honest with God. Pray for me really quick. My wife's going to sing a song. No, she does. If you raise your hand or whatever. If you got a need to come to this altar, please come to this altar and take care of that sin. We find us prepared.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
There's people here, you won't be alone. None.
All to Jesus, I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender. Make me Savior. Holy thine, let me feel thy
still up here.
Holy
still come right now. Take care of it.
Truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior.
Father, we thank you for the time we've been in your house today. Those that were here today, I think got a blessing out of the messages. The fellowship is going to bow. Would you bless the Lord? We're only there. So please, I pray that you bless the fellowship we have afterwards. Food and everything, I pray that you bless there. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. We fellowship in a while.
At lunch, after.